Well, let's speak to Sinn Féin's Mitch McLaughlin this morning. Morning to you, Mitchell.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning to you. And Geoffrey Donaldson from the DUP. Morning to you, Geoffrey.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mitch McLaughlin, what do you want here? What needs to happen next, in your view?
Well, I suppose if all parties to the peace process, and they were previously all parties to the conflict, were to examine, you know, what type of initiatives they could offer that would begin to, if you like, melt the iceberg. There are a huge legacy of hurt and division, which goes beyond the current experience of conflict that this generation has experienced, because it has affected our parents and grandparents also. So I think that if we could find small beginnings, rather than trying to, come up with this all-encompassing solution, because that quite clearly was not achieved during the negotiations, and Declan, I think, last night pointed out correctly,
but
and I
solution
doubt anybody
to what?
Would challenge it.
What's wrong with where we are now?
Well, I think where we are now is better than conflict, but it is incomplete.
Why?
Insofar as there are so many people in our community who are hurting, who are distrustful, who are fearful, and who, you know, simply don't believe that their trauma has been properly recognised. And that, I think, affects people on all sides. It affects, in my view, former soldiers who served here, as well as IRA volunteers, as well as loyalists, and as well as ordinary non-combatant members of our community. So there is an all embracing trauma, yet we seem to seek to appear on the basis of, you know, let's find a hierarchy of blame rather than find answers to these problems. No. I don't think they're insoluble problems, but they're genuine and very, very difficult
but problems.
But
surely, Mitchell, what the many of the political parties have done in Northern Ireland, whether they've said it out loud or not, is another thing. But there is a thrust, there is a momentum for this community in Northern Ireland to look forward, to stop talking about the past as much. Let's look forward. You know, I've heard people from your party say to me, and indeed, yes, other parties as well, if you want to rake over everything in the past, if you want to go back there, we could be here years, let's look to the future. That's the message that people are being given.
Well, I'm not sure that that is the case. I think that obviously what we have is better than conflict on our streets. But this process has never been about, you know, management. It is more about learning to live with each other, to respect each other, to have a view that equality and dialogue threatens no traditions and allows us to respect and I suppose appreciate the difference that there is and the diversity in our society. Now, the reality is in Stormont that, it has proved very, very difficult to advance beyond the basic thresholds that were established in 1998. Now, that's a considerable number of years ago.
Yeah, but
I do think that, we have to get past the point of this kind of frozen anger that is preventing people from engaging on the basis of mutual respect.
I still don't understand, with all due respect, what you're asking for. I do understand that you're essentially saying that victims need answers on all sides. Beyond that, what is Sinn Féin asking for?
No, I think that we are asking for more than that, Stephen.
And, what is
and,
it?
And I appreciate the opportunity to say. I believe that if we were, for instance, just simply to review the politics of this assembly, then we would actually very quickly recognise that, in fact, the old antagonisms are still very much getting in the way. Now, there's a reason for that, and there's a history behind that.
Give me an example.
Let me just develop this point, if we could, because we might then, I would like to hear, and let me say hello to Geoffrey. I welcome the fact that he's on the panel as well. I do believe that unionists and Republicans and nationalists at times are still talking at each other instead of with each other. And that's not rhetoric. I do think that that's the practical reality. And it is the reason why we don't have agile and quick government. It is the reason why it proves so difficult and so intractable to get decisions, even to do the right thing, because it might be seen as conceding advantage to the other. So if you like, the conflict, I believe, continues, albeit, you know, we have just micro groups that are trying to kind of return to the past. There is a common determination that won't happen.
But give me
but the conflict
give me,
is taking on a new form.
Give me examples, Mitchell, so that I understand. Geoffrey, I'll come to you in just a second. Give me real examples so that I understand of how this is impeding progress in Northern Ireland.
Well, if you take account and reflect on what I've just said, and then take as an example that no, people still insist on pointing the finger at the other to apportion blame, instead of recognising that we all hurt each other, that there was a conflict which may, you know, have been avoidable. I don't personally subscribe to that notion, but the consequences and the circumstances of that have hurt us all. Now, we can, I think, learn lessons from that, but only if we learn to talk to each other. Declan gave a very practical example, which is the continued lack of dialogue on one single issue, which is the Murchison issue, which plagues us year in and year out. And yet we have found where solutions have emerged. They emerge because people talk to each other.
It's really
interesting. To each other.
Yeah. It's really interesting, Mitchell, to listen to you this morning, because, you know, what you're saying is there needs to be more dialogue. We need to talk to each other as much as possible. You know, I'm aware when the BBC was making, for example, the Bloody Friday documentary, no one from your party would talk about Bloody Friday. You wouldn't actually talk to the filmmakers. You wouldn't talk to the community in that.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. Well, it is interesting, but it's also, I think, explainable, because Declan, again, made a very direct reference to one of the huge impediments to engaging on those kind of aspects of truth, and truth has many different dimensions. So we should find a place, a common place where we can all start. But the big issue here, and it's the elephant in the room, is the silence of the British government, who do not and who refuse point blank, and in fact put up quite enormous obstacles in the pursuit of truth recovery. So if we have a process that is all embracing, that does provide the confidence and maybe even the protections to allow people to come forward, then we might be able to complete that mosaic. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't start somewhere, shouldn't attempt to find somewhere.
But if we use the Bloody Friday film as an example, why don't you lot take the first step? So here we go again. There's going to be stalemate for the next 30, 40 years if you all behave like this. So I ask you why you didn't cooperate. You didn't talk about a massive event in Northern Ireland like Bloody Friday, and you then immediately pass the buck to the British government not talking about something else.
Well, you know, I think I've explained why there's a difficulty with that, and I think your comments would be much more acceptable to the broad section of our community if, in fact, you were prepared to address similar questions to the British government.
And I would have.
Well, I've challenged you about that before, and I've seen you run a mile when you had the opportunity, when you had a British government minister in front of you, and you didn't engage in that
conversation. I presented a documentary on the Shankill Butchers last year, but let's not make this about me.
Sorry, the Shankill Butchers. I'm talking with the British government.
Here's Jeffrey.
Are you saying they were one and the same?
No, of course I'm not. Jeffrey Donaldson from the DUP. Jeffrey, they're accusing you of stalling progress. This is what Sinn Féin is saying.
Well, good morning, Stephen. Maybe we should move the talks on this issue from Stormont to the Palm House up at Botanic Gardens so that Sinn Féin can learn that when you're in a big glass house, you shouldn't throw stones. You've given one example of how on something as basic as a documentary on an atrocity that occurred back in the early 1970s on Bloody Friday, Sinn Féin can't even make public comment on that issue.
They went silent.
And I think of another matter. I think at the weekend we had a parade and protest up in Belfast on the Ballymurphy, for the Ballymurphy families. Sinn Féin were present at that. And yet, when the King's Mill families, 10 Protestants murdered by the IRA in South Armagh, wanted to have exactly the same kind of parade and protest in South Armagh, Sinn Féin objected and blocked the parade. So, you know, I'm left as a unionist looking at Sinn Féin and just wondering, where are they coming from in this? I read the words of Declan Kearney.
And have you met Declan Kearney?
Yes, I have. But I also look at their actions, and I have to be one of those people who believes actions speak louder than words, and I haven't seen the actions from Sinn Féin so far that suggest that beyond this rhetoric there is a seriousness about grappling some of the difficult issues. For example, Sinn Féin talk about leadership. Gerry Adams is the president of Sinn Féin, yet Gerry Adams even refuses to acknowledge that he was a member of the IRA. Now, if that's the basic starting point for a process of reconciliation, that the leader of Sinn Féin cannot even acknowledge publicly that he was a member of an organisation that caused so much of the hurt and pain that Mitchell McLaughlin talks about this morning, then how on earth are we going to make the progress that Sinn Féin wants to see happening?
And would that be a a fundamental deal breaker for you that someone as high profile of as Gerry Adams should say something other than what he's been saying for many years?
Well,
is that important?
Mitchell talks about small steps and first steps. I think that's a pretty important first step, to acknowledge that you were a member of the organisation.
Mitchell McLaughlin, do you want to respond to that? Obviously, Gerry Adams denies membership of the IRA.
Yes, and that's a matter of record. But if we move it beyond the personality, should anyone step forward this morning and answer Jeffrey's question, say, I was in the IRA, what would be the next call? That they should be arrested and they should be charged. I think we have to work with the practicalities of what is available to us. And I do think that we can design a process where those who were combatants, and you know, I'm not talking about Gerry Adams, I'm talking about all of those who were combatants, can actually step up to the plate and say, you know, well, I did have a role,
an
this
amnesty.
Is why I did it,
you
this
want
was
an
my...
You want an amnesty?
Well, it may or may not amount to an amnesty, but that if that was a practical way of dealing with the angst and the pain and the search for truth and the need for truth, then why should we reject it out of hand? So there's an effective amnesty for members of the British Security Services.
Geoffrey?
Well, I don't accept that because what are we faced with at the moment? In over 3,000 unsolved murders, 85% of which were committed by Republican terrorists, maybe slightly less than that, but 85% were committed by paramilitaries. Those murders are unsolved. The paramilitaries have not been put in the docks. Yet, I think it's about 15% of killings were as a result of the activities of the security forces. And in respect of Bloody Sunday, we now have the prospect of soldiers involved in that incident being put in the dock, being brought to trial. And people like me are saying to the people that I represent, and I'm hearing from the people that I represent, this is a one-sided process. And that what Republicans are really about is trying to rewrite the narrative of the Troubles, to paint themselves as the good guys and the security forces as the bad guys. Yet the statistics cry out for something that is different.
So you're accusing...
The IRA killed more people than anybody else. They killed more Catholics. Than the UDA,
you're accusing Sinn Féin of
UVF.
You're accusing Sinn Féin of revisionism.
Indeed, I am. And you know, if that's what they mean by dealing with the legacy of the past and reconciliation, then frankly, they're starting from the wrong place. Reconciliation has to be about acknowledgement of wrongdoing, not trying to brush it under the carpet.
But hold on a minute. Mitchell McLaughlin and Declan Kearney then are right, Geoffrey, because what you're saying this morning, you would have been saying exactly the same 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. There's no progress between you two.
No, I don't accept that.
Well, what show me the progress of how you trust Sinn Féin more in terms of what they're asking for now. They're asking for the next...
Stephen. And we're trying to work
what's the
to
next
a better
stage?
Future for
what's,
everyone
what's
in
the
Northern
next
Ireland.
Stage here?
We have a coalition government here that comprises five political parties. 10 years ago, Stephen, if I'd suggested that's where we would be today, there'd be a lot of people who would have said it's not possible. So we have made a lot of progress.
Where's the progress for the victims who want answers? One of the aspects that Mitchell McLaughlin's been raising this morning, he's been hinting at an amnesty or something like it so that people can come forward and say exactly what they did. Where's the progress between Sinn Féin and the DUP on that?
Well, we've had discussions at Stormont on the cohesion sharing and integration strategy, which includes even dealing with the legacy of the past. Now,
we're waiting for that 5 years on from devolution.
And let me tell you what's happening. When we developed that strategy through the Office of the First Minister and Deputy First Minister, Sinn Féin took the strategy away and they had it for months and months and months and we heard nothing back. We were waiting for Sinn Féin to tell us what their view was. And finally, when we got the document back, it was unrecognisable. They had removed so much of the key elements that are essential, that are central to building reconciliation.
So it got nowhere.
So I have to say to you, Stephen, unionism will not be found wanting when it comes to building reconciliation in Northern Ireland.
You have been found wanting. You've got nowhere.
But we need the other side to step up to the mark.
You need the political acumen. You need the political ability to bring them with you.
Well, Stephen, if you're talking about leadership, let me tell you, as the leadership of political unionism, we're not looking at the moment at loyalist paramilitaries who are out in the streets shooting policemen, putting bombs under police officers' cars, and trying to wreck the peace process. I suggest to you, Stephen, that the greater problem lies in the Republican side, not on the Loyalist side, and that they need to show greater leadership in bringing that dissident violence to an end. So, look, if there's a deficit,
you think they can?
Stephen,
you
think it most certainly is not with on the Unionist side.
So hold on a second.
Unionism has stepped up to the mark here.
Well, that's really interesting. So you think that Martin McGuinness, Gerry Adams could do more in terms of stopping the dissidents and are not doing so? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that if Sinn Féin want to talk about leadership and criticise the leadership of unionism, as Declan Kearney has done in his speech last night, well, for one finger pointing in our direction, there are many fingers pointing back. And look, we can get into all of that, but I'm simply saying if people want to criticise leadership, then maybe they need to look at the leadership in their own community first of all, before they start looking at the leadership in the unionist community. That's all that I'm saying, Stephen.
Well, you're not. Hold on a minute.
Unionism stepped up to the mark.
You're paraphrasing this,
on our side as far as the peace process is concerned. And now we're waiting for Sinn Féin and the Republican side also to deliver.
Mitchell McLaughlin.
Yeah, and I mean, I really am struggling not to get embroiled in the old kind of tit-for-tat kind of arguments. And I mean, if we set tests for each other rather than invite people to come forward with new and fresh and imaginative thinking, then we'll simply get on the merry-go-round and there'll be no progress made. I acknowledge, and we all should appreciate the problems that have been solved and the progress that has been made. But can anyone argue that we are a community at peace with ourselves? If the answer to that is yes, then fair enough, we can just drop this conversation and we just go back to managing the status quo. If in fact we recognise that there are many problems, current problems and past problems, then I think we've all got to bring forward initiatives. Yeah. Now, that
but,
was
but Mitchell, I'm sorry, but I want to interrupt for a reason. Geoffrey Dolans has made a specific and a very important for our community charge that Sinn Féin could be doing a lot more to stop the dissidents. And he says that is a test of Sinn Féin's leadership.
Okay, and I mean, the news was reporting during the week the attack on Gerard O'Reilly's home, Sinn Féin councillor. My own home was petrol bombed. You know, community activists in the Craigan estate, Sean McMonigal, a great friend of mine, his house has been attacked repeatedly for standing up to those very people. We will continue. We'll not be intimidated by microgroups within our community. But if people are going to insist that in fact is the test that will satisfy unionists that we are serious, then this could go on forever and we'd be held hostage by a microgroup. So can I just put it this way to try and get a positive threshold for discussion? Let's bring forward to each other initiatives for moving it forward, not setting tests, not asking questions that we know will bring predictable disappointment, but in fact trying to find ways in which we can examine whether or not we've got have we got the most effective and efficient form of government.
You're working every day up in the Assembly. You could do that tomorrow morning, bring ideas
and
initiatives to each other.
No, we can't do it, you see. We can't do it if there is mind blockages and if there is confrontation by other means. No, mutual veto has been applied. It's not an ideal arrangement. It does need reform and it does need people coming together on the basis of mutual respect and equality and saying, here, we could streamline this. We could do this a different way.
Brian
we
Rowan,
could do this better.
Brian Rowan, from what you've heard today, is there any sense of this moving on?
I think what I'm hearing this morning confirms what I believe, Stephen, that this project needs to be managed by someone else, needs to be managed outside of our political system here, needs that international help that I talked about. And I firmly believe that we need, not as a starting point, some international truth commission. But as a starting point, we need an international team in here to speak to all sides, and all sides not just meaning Republican and Loyalist, meaning security, intelligence, political government, churches and media, to shape a process to come to some conclusion on this question of amnesty, to find out if amnesty or something that is called something different but is amnesty will get us to the point of the information and the truth that some people are looking for. What the conversation this morning tells me is we're dwelling in the past and we're not dealing with it. Do we need to deal with it? Absolutely. There is no question about that. Just one point that was raised in the conversation this morning, and I think it's important to address it. On the 40th anniversary of Bloody Friday, Sinn Féin did speak. Declan Kearney gave a detailed interview to the Belfast Telegraph. He described the events of Bloody Friday as unjustifiable. And he said, and I quote him directly, "I think there is no Republican who would associate him or herself to the view that Bloody Friday should have happened. Bloody Friday shouldn't have happened." So just to clear up that point. But I think there are important questions, huge questions for Republicans to answer in a process that asks its questions of the past. But it is not just about Martin McGuinness and Gerry Adams. It's about the Loyalist leaders. It is about people who were involved in that intelligence world and in that so-called dirty war that we often describe. But I think what is very clear this morning in this conversation is our politicians can't and won't design the process that is needed, and that's why we need international help in.
Okay.